We are going to now hear from David Newman. A little bit of history here. David has been at our last four conventions, and it's just been great to have him talk about all the things that he's been involved in trying to make our state more accessible for people with disabilities. I know he's worked hard on he's worked hard on the website. He's been involved with voting issues. He's been involved with other things, a news line that we've been trying to get in Alaska. And with him is Katie Redmonds, who is the specialist for people with disabilities in regards to, and I'll let her tell her actual title in regards to emergency preparedness. So you guys can take it away.
Great. Thanks so much, Bonnie. It's great to be here. I see Katie. Hi, Katie. First of all, yeah, this is my fourth year in a row, and this is one of my favorite places to speak at. So just wanted to say thanks again for inviting me. It's a really big honor. So real quickly about me, as Bonnie said, I'm David Newman. I'm the state ADA coordinator, and my office is the ADA Compliance Program. My office was created by administrative order in 1992 by Governor Hickel in response to the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. My office helps ensure that individuals with disabilities have equal access to the state's facilities, programs, and services under Title II of the ADA. And I'd like to say that I have a big office and a lot of people to help me with my goals and projects, but unfortunately, it's just me. So I'm doing the best that I can, but that just is the way it is. There just isn't enough money around for everything. So quickly about me, I'm an attorney. I'm licensed in Alaska and Illinois. I've worked for the state for almost 15 years now. It'll be 15 years in December. I started this position in 2017. And before that, I worked a long time at the Division of Banking and Securities. So quickly, how did I go from the Division of Banking and Securities, where I did audits on financial advisors and did investigations into strange activity, protecting people's retirement? Well, I have two 12-year-old daughters, and one of them has a disability, so I've been advocating for her since she was a little girl. And this job really allows me to help other people the way I do for my own family. So I consider it every day a real blessing to be able to do this. So Bonnie mentioned some of the stuff that I've worked on, but I want to talk to you about some of my priorities and things that have been accomplished and things that I still want to accomplish, still things I still need to work on so that the state of Alaska can lead the nation in accessibility, which is really my ultimate goal. And hopefully one day we'll make that goal happen. And that'll be a real possibility. So the first is access to voting. Now, I'd first spoken about this in 2018, and I got a big response from your group at that time, probably the biggest response out of any topic. And one of the big problems was the electronic voting machines that are used throughout Alaska. They were old and they would break down. But because of the response we got from your group, we were able to reach out to Julie Hussman, who's the Anchorage Lake election supervisor, who I believe is speaking after Katie and I today. And that led to her bringing new voting machines to be tested to your group at your 2019 convention. And then eventually by 2020, so under 2 years since I spoke, right around 2 years since I spoke, new voting machines being placed in all polling places throughout Alaska. So a huge victory for this group, a huge victory for accessibility, and it couldn't have been done without all of your feedback. And a big thank you to Julie Hussman as well. So a really great thing that happened. And we'll continue to look at issues with accessibility and voting moving forward too. In addition to that, Bonnie mentioned emergency management. So when I first took over this position in 2017, I worked with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to be appointed as the Access and Functional Needs Liaison for the State Emergency Operations Center. And that's a really big deal because that means my role is during any sort of disaster emergency, I'm looking out for the most vulnerable people in Alaska in the emergency operations center. And there's only 44 seats in that room. And I have one of them. So it's a really big deal. So I was able to help after the 2018 earthquake, the big fire season we had in 2019, and obviously everything that's happened with COVID in the last year and a half. In addition to that, I'm part of the Alaska Disability Advisory Group, which is led by Lanny Momsen from the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. This is a group made up of members of state agencies, federal agencies, and more importantly, members of nonprofits throughout the state. So the goal of this group that meets monthly is to talk about issues affecting Alaskans and what's really happening on the ground. So the people who work in these state and federal agencies can hear directly from the nonprofits and the people that they're helping. So it's a really great way to communicate with both parties and see what's really happening in Alaska and how we can help. In addition to that, a huge topic for me since I started this position is web accessibility. And we had some quick successes when I first started. First one was getting a consistent accessibility notice on all the state web pages. And since then, we've really tried to move a couple things forward. One of them in particular, and Katie and I are both working on this now, is a statewide web accessibility policy. Now, this is in draft form now, and it's something that I personally worked on with a web accessibility working group through the state, which is made up of different IT professionals throughout the state. And this would really give the state a good baseline for every department and division to follow, kind of the minimum standards they would have to meet to make all of the state web pages accessible. Right now, it hasn't been passed. It's still in draft form. We've submitted it to the Office of Information Technology and their Chief Information Officer, Bill Smith. So we're really keeping our fingers crossed because this would really move Alaska forward and really make a difference in improving our web accessibility statewide for everyone. In addition to that, another thing Katie and I are working on is trying to move forward with some technology that the state of California developed with Microsoft. It's something called the OCR bot. And what it does is it helps remediate inaccessible scanned PDFs that have been uploaded to all of the state web pages. So right now, a lot of those scanned PDFs would not be accessible to screen readers. And what this new technology does is it make those inaccessible PDFs accessible to screen readers. So we've brought up, I've passed this information along to the Division of Public Health, the Department of Education, and very recently with the Division of Elections. So we're trying to get the word out there about the benefit of this technology and really what kind of great things it can do. If this group is interested in helping, get that word out, please let me or Katie know, and we'll work in any way we can to try to get this along because we think it's super important. In addition to that, I want to mention the success we've had with getting ASL, American Sign Language interpreters for the state's public briefings. After the 2008 earthquake, right after that, Governor Walker used a sign language interpreter, which is one of the first times in the state's history that was done. And in addition to that, with at the beginning of COVID, Governor Dunleavy was actually one of the first governors in the nation to use sign language interpreters at his briefings. Very important and a really important step for Alaska. This has kind of slowed down in the last couple months where it hasn't been used as much, but we're trying to get that changed and for ASL interpreters to be used at all of the briefings. So some big victories there. In addition to that, just want to mention a couple things at Ted Stevens Airport. We were able to move the disabled loading zones at the airport next to curb cuts throughout the entire airport. This came along because, I don't know if you were aware, but outside the baggage claim at Ted Stevens, the disabled loading zone was about 100 feet away from the nearest curb cut. So it was actually pretty dangerous that you had to go around parked cars and next to traffic to get to your car. But what we were able to do was to convince the airport this was a dangerous situation. And they repainted all the lines. So now all the disabled loading zones are next to curb cuts where they're supposed to be. So that was really good. In addition to that, there is a brand new, over the last couple months, and I hope everybody's aware of this now, service animal relief area at the Ted Stevens Airport. And it's really nice. There's some grass there. There's kind of a shower head to clean it up. There's a sink. There's plastic bags for the dogs. And I really have to give a ton of credit on this to Brian Geary, who many of you know. Brian first brought this up to me, and he was a huge advocate in trying to make this move forward. And within a couple of years, this got done. So hope all of you will check it out. It's a really great thing and another really big accomplishment that I'm super proud of. And I can't thank Brian Geary enough. One thing Bonnie mentioned as well that Katie and I are trying to move forward with is Newsline. I can't tell you how important that Katie and I think this is. And, you know, I think the most recent statistics are that it's used in 46 of 50 states and Alaska isn't one of them. So I consider that an embarrassment. And I will, you know, and this is also very important to Bonnie and to William Craig. I just want to put that mention out there as well, but we're trying to do everything we can to move this forward. It just hasn't been done yet. So I have to acknowledge some of the things that haven't been accomplished as well. Finally, one of the things that I want to accomplish is to improve access to facilities, programs, and services. And one of the ways to do that is to send out self-evaluations to all of the departments and divisions to make sure we're not violating any of the provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act. These self-evaluations are just surveys or questionnaires to see if we're violating any specific regulations. But this hasn't been done yet. It's at the top of my list, and I hope to accomplish it soon. So I want to wrap this up to give Katie some time. Just want to let you know I'm here. If you have any questions, always feel free to call me. My website is alaska.gov/ADA. And just to introduce her real quick, Katie is the Disability and Preparedness Specialist at the Division of Public Health. I'm sure she'll give you a little more details on that. But she's pretty awesome, and I've thoroughly enjoyed working with her since the beginning of this year. So Katie, I'll turn it over to you.
Like you said, my name is Katie Redmond. I serve as the Disability Preparedness Specialist for the state of Alaska. So CDC and ASHTO, the Association for State and Territorial Health Officials, have this grant because unfortunately, when COVID rolled out, we found out that we, after many, many lessons learned and lessons gained from natural disasters, we were starting to not incorporate the needs of people with disabilities in the COVID response. So I'm part of a team of about 20 people in different states and two territories, Guam and Puerto Rico, that we are there in state health departments and some emergency management offices, depending on the structure of the state, to ensure that we are making that people with disabilities and other chronic health needs get equitable access to the COVID response. And so that's taken on a variety of roles. And then I also had the purview of working with natural disasters. So that's how I've been able to make the argument for things like Newsline and the OCR bot and just doing whatever the community needs me to do. I am new to Alaska. I moved here from New Mexico where I grew up. But I've been in global health and worked abroad. There's a lot of parallels between Southern Africa and Alaska in terms of rural needs. And just to put it out there that I am somebody who lives with a disability. I was diagnosed with autism at the age of 5. And so I have this dual lens of seeing where the healthcare system's at with a public health degree, but also if somebody tells me what an issue is, like with transportation, if anybody comes up to me, you're not going to be complaining, I can empathize. Basically, you can just view me as one of David's voluntary staff members in a completely different office. Because we basically most of the projects that he's mentioned, I've collaborated with him on. A few other things. Bonnie and I worked a couple weeks ago on an issue where we had a member of the blind and visually impaired community unable to get testing in Anchorage. And so I sit on the director's Healthy and Equitable Communities team that's newly forming. And I was able to network with some of the people on that team that are running the testing contracts and figured out who to talk to for the muni. So those are things that I'm able to do. Also working with David on the ASL concern and really trying to get the OCR bot and working with California and Alaska to make sure that that's still happening. Web accessibility remains one of my big things as well. So if the pandemic ever calms down, I really would love to switch more into the natural disaster piece. There's definitely some concerns with tsunamis. And what I would love to do is do a case study where I have 5 communities and look at their different emergency plans, because every state, every community has a different emergency plan in the state of Alaska. And then talking with members of disabilities in those communities, if that plan actually works for them and that accessibility. We know that greatest injuries and fatalities when it comes to tsunamis are people with disabilities and people who are elderly. And that is something I think Alaska can help solve and has a lot of intrinsic knowledge and successes that we just would need to give out to the world if people want to participate. I have tentative interest from Valdez. Also be interested in looking at Ketchikan, Sitka, or Kenai, Alaska Peninsula or Aleutian Islands, Kodiak, those areas as well. But in general, if there wanted to be a focus group on how the earthquake was handled in 2018, I'd be willing to do that. But essentially, I'm based in Anchorage and I'm here to serve the state in the best capacity as possible. My grant currently runs through July of 2023. And I'm determined as well with David to continue to push Newsline forward and the OCR bot forward and web accessibility and my plan of world domination. I mean, inclusion of making an accessible Alaska. So I went 2 minutes over, but I just wanted to say it's truly a pleasure. David told me when I first was hired on that this was one of his favorite events, and I'm grateful I had the time to speak with y'all today. And I do not have anything schnazzy like a website, but I will definitely put my email in the chat. It's basically how you spell my first name dot last name at alaska.gov. And Bonnie also has my personal phone number. So she also, like, you know, I basically respond to my New Mexico cell if anybody needs me as well. So thank you so much.